Air, food, and water are essential for physical life.
In our spiritual life, prayer is essential to the soul.
And that's why we're taking time out for a special season of prayer this morning.
A powerful devotional and incredible facts about the Bible to share.
Tag along with us.
Good morning, friends. You know, fall is in full force, and we are excited. In fact, fall is the perfect time to start slowing down.
Oh, yes.
And spending some extra time with loved ones as the holiday season's approaching.
Mm-hmm, that's so true. And today is also International Journalist Day. It's a day celebrated in honor of the memories of journalists who have laid down their lives while performing their duties.
It may be a little known fact that journalists often place themselves in perilous situations to share news with the world. Mm-hmm. And today we want to remember journalists everywhere and say thank you. Thank you for taking on the job of bringing us news and information, well, that we need, even when it is sometimes at the risk of their own lives.
Mm-hmm. And friends, every soul is valuable in the eyes of God. Each one of us has inestimable value. We hope you never forget that.
Amen. So, let's begin our program with the segment we like to call This Day in History.
On this day in history in 1863, President Abraham Lincoln delivered the iconic Gettysburg Address, a speech lasting about 3 minutes and under 275 words. In it, Lincoln reminded the public of the Civil War's purpose and emphasized that the soldiers who gave their lives had not died in vain. He urged that their cause must continue. Today, his speech is thought by many to be the most eloquent articulation of the Democratic vision ever written.
You know, friends, someone else has also delivered an impactful speech that has been written and passed down through the ages. He was a powerful apostle by the name of Peter. You know, in the Bible, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, we are given an account of when the disciples were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And there was a gathering of thousands of people, and the disciples actually began to talk in different languages so that everyone that was present could understand what they were saying. You know, it was during this time that Peter stood up. And he spoke to the large crowd, and he explained to them how Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, the Messiah, and how he is the only way anyone can be saved and have eternal life. Well, the crowd pressed him as they were impressed, and they asked, "What must we do to be saved?" And Peter responded, "Repent and be baptized." You know, friends, the same formula applies to us today. If we want to be saved, if we want to be prepared for the coming of Jesus, we need to accept His love and make a decision to repent, to turn away from our sin and accept His amazing sacrifice for us. So I encourage you today to read the entire passage of Acts chapter 2 for yourselves. And friends, see the beautiful message that God has right there for each one of us.
Amen. Well, the Bible is the best-selling book of all time. The Foreign Bible Society estimates that somewhere near 5 and 7 billion copies have been printed over the past 1,500 years. Want to hear more interesting facts about the Bible? Our friends from The Incredible Journey are here this morning to share 10 facts about the Bible.
Of all the books ever printed, the Bible is still the number one global bestseller. It has never been out of print and has never been taken off the bestseller list. It has touched and changed the lives of millions of people worldwide, crossing the barriers of ethnicity, culture, language, and socioeconomic status. While the world is saturated with billions of inspiring books, the Bible alone is inspired. It's God's Word. It's God's way of communicating with us, connecting with us. That's why the Bible alone has the power to change your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions. The Bible really can change your life and bring you peace and happiness. The Bible offers us answers to life's most pertinent questions. Why am I here? Where am I going? What happens after I die? What is heaven like? Are we living near the end of the world? How can I deal with guilt? How can I have peace? And many more like these. Let's look at 10 simple, quick facts that give us a bird's eye view of what the Bible is and how it can make a difference in our life. Fact number one, the Bible is divinely inspired. It's God's Word. The Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Fact number two, the Bible reveals God's thoughts, plans, and principles. The Bible says, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Fact number three, the Bible has been preserved without error. The Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. Fact number four, the Bible was given to guide us through life. The Bible says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Fact number five, we can be absolutely certain that the Bible is definitely the Word of God. The Bible says, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Fact number six, the Bible helps us to know and understand Jesus better. The Bible says, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. Fact number seven, the Bible reveals the truth of God. The Bible says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Fact number eight, the Bible explains itself and is its own interpreter and shows us the correct method of Bible study and understanding. The Bible says, whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Fact number nine, in order to truly understand the Bible, we need to be willing to hear, obey, and follow God's word. The Bible says, if anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it's from God or whether I speak of my own authority. And finally, fact number 10. Jesus promises to send us his Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth if we are willing to search his word with a sincere heart. The Bible says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. So there they are, 10 important facts about the Bible. 1. The Bible is divinely inspired. It's God's Word. 2. The Bible reveals God's thoughts, plans, and principles. 3. The Bible has been preserved without error. You can trust the Bible. 4. The Bible was given to us to guide us through life. 5. We can be absolutely certain that the Bible is definitely the Word of God. 6. The Bible helps us to know and understand Jesus better. 7. The Bible reveals the truth. 8. The Bible explains itself and is its own interpreter and shows us the correct method of Bible study and understanding. 9. In order to truly understand the Bible, we need to be willing to hear, obey, and follow God's Word. 10. Jesus promises to send us His Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth if we are willing to search His Word with a sincere heart. The Bible can give you the peace and certainty that your heart longs for. Why not choose to dig into the Word and study its truth today?
Well, we hope you're gearing up for prayer, because right after this short break, we'll be welcoming the Let's Pray team.
And don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And search for us on YouTube to check out our YouTube channel and keep up with us.
We'll be right back. Would you like to have increased spiritual strength? We've got just what you need, prayer. The sure result of fellowship with our Lord will be an increase in piety, purity, and fervor. Prayer helps give us a clear perception of truth and God's will for our life. So as we pray together, we encourage you to also to commit to spend more time with God in solitary prayer.
And now the Let's Pray team will join us in prayer.
Hi, family. It is that time again to get together and pray. I'm really appreciative of these times because I know that there is power when we come together in the name of Jesus. And today we're going to be talking about praying about, really, strength to get over addictions. There's a verse in Jeremiah that says in chapter 17, verse 14, "Heal me, Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved. For you are the one I praise." This is such a beautiful scripture. It speaks faith and hope, and that's exactly what I want to pray for us today. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to pray over this community, Lord. And I include myself in this prayer as you know, Jesus, 16 years sober, Heavenly Father, but that does not mean that I have not needed your strength to get over things that I habitually do or habitually find strength from that don't come from you, Lord. I consider all of these things to be addictions, Lord. When we're searching for anything that is not you for our rest, our peace, our strength, our hope, and our relief, because that's what so many of us are looking for, Jesus, it's relief. So, Lord, I pray that folks would not only have the strength because of you to get over their addictions, Heavenly Father, but Lord, that you would indeed help them to focus so intently upon you, Lord, that those things fall away. Because Jesus, if you heal us, Lord, we'll be healed. When you save us, Jesus, we are saved. For you are the one, Lord. You're the one. You're the one we need. You are the place to go. You are the safe place to be vulnerable. You are that place, Jesus, that isn't going to overwhelm us or force yourself on us, Heavenly Father. These things are so important that you are always, always helping us to walk in freedom. And I pray in the name of Jesus that freedom, Jesus, would begin to consume the lives of those who are seeking it. Jesus, that you would break the chains of addiction over those who are struggling against them. And Father, that you would not only help them to move away from those things and towards you, Jesus, but that you would actually dry up their sources. Jesus, if it's gossip that we're addicted to, if it's worshiping our own emotions and making them more important than the truth of your word, if it is, Heavenly Father, drugs or narcotics or shopping or gambling Whatever it is, Heavenly Father, we not only seek to be free and to be walking in fullness with you, Jesus, but Lord, we're looking for your relief, for your refreshment. So will you teach us how to find those things in you and not in destructive patterns? I thank you that you're not wagging your finger at us. You love us right where we are in our mess, but you do call us higher. You do have more for us. You are our advocate. You're not spying on us, judging us, Jesus. You see all things and you still love us. And I'm so grateful, Jesus. I'm grateful, Father, that you are moving on behalf of this community and those that we love. I thank you, Jesus, that you're moving in my family and the families that are represented here. We praise you, Jesus, for being the answer to all of our needs, our struggles, and our hopes. And I thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. I pray that it's a blessing for you. I pray that the Lord would continue to give you hope and perseverance. If you yourself are dealing with addictions or if those you love, remember, he's able to reach them. Even if it's not always through us personally, he's able to surround our loved ones and our family members and us with the help that we need. My prayer is that we would be looking for it. And he loves to be found by us, family. So be encouraged today, and I look forward to the next time we get to pray together.
Thank you so much. Coming up next, Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 will be with us to share an inspiring devotional message. Don't go anywhere.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. We are happy you're here this morning.
It's now time for a devotional thought. Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 will be with us here today to share this devotional.
Hello, everyone. We continue with our series, After God's Heart, on the life of David and the fact that he was enrolled in the School of Brokenness to become a man after God's own heart. Today, we're talking about exhausted, when we are exhausted. And what do we do then? I remember one time I was preaching in a church and I had a book of prayers that I had purchased. And there were different prayers for different circumstances. And one of them was the prayer of a single mother. And I asked if there were volunteers, any single parent that wanted to read this prayer out loud for the whole church. And this woman came up who was a single mom and she started reading the prayer. And the prayer was, Lord, I am so tired and I can't understand people that say to me, oh, hang in there, you know, they have two parents working with the children. I am by myself and I can't do this anymore. And the prayer went on and all of a sudden she stops and starts crying, sobbing, crying out loud in the middle of the church because she could understand perfectly what the prayer was about. She was so exhausted with what she was going through. And I felt this intimate connection at that moment from her to God and all of us, actually, because we understand there are times in life that all of us get exhausted. And today, even David and his men will be exhausted in the story we are going to study. So let's go to chapter 27 of 1 Samuel. Things are going bad for David. It says on verse 1 of chapter 27, David said to himself, I will perish one day by the hand of Saul, because Saul is persecuting him, coming after him. And he says, there's nothing better for me than to escape into the land of the Philistines. And you know, he goes to live with the Philistines. And what is unbelievable for me, verse 2, David arose and crossed over, he and his 600 men, you know, he had a little band now with him, who were with him, to Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. He goes to Gath, the very place where Goliath had come from, the core of his enemies. And now he's living among them. They give him, if you keep continue reading, over six, a town for him and his men and their families. The town is Ziklag. And that's where he's going to live for the next year and 4 months, 16 months. And you know that during that time, we have no Psalms from David. He's so exhausted that it seems like he doesn't have anything to bring. But then chapter 30 comes along. You know, David's life is in a downward spiral. You know, I like spirals. I think most of us do. They're pretty, except when they are somebody's life and the life takes a downward spiral. And this is what happened in David's life. Not only is he in the enemy camp after he has been persecuted, but now something bad, from bad to worse, right, is going to happen. And it's the fact that one day they come back with his band and Ziklag has been burned. I'm going to read it for you. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. It happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had made a raid on the Negev and had overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire. And it continues to say they had taken all the women and children with them. And look at this verse. Verse 4. David and the people who were with him lifted their voices and wept until there was no strength in them to weep anymore. Maybe your life has been like this and you have had tears here and there, but now you're like at the bottom and you're crying with no more strength like them. But if you thought this couldn't get worse, let me tell you, it does, because the men are so embittered about their families not being there. Verse 6, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. I mean, his own people are so bitter about the family, losing their families, that they speak of stoning him. It says here, because they were embittered because of his sons and daughters. And it says here, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. I love that but. You know, there's some buts in the Bible where it says, this is happening, but. You know, those desperate prayers where all you have left is one word because you're so exhausted and you're like, please, please, or help, or why? Well, those are the exhausted prayers. David is so exhausted that he only finds strength in the Lord. And he says that he asked the priest to ask God if they should pursue these people. And they do, and they pursue. And look at this, verse 9. David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those left behind remained. And it says here, verse 10, David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 were too exhausted to cross the brook Besor, and they remained behind. How exhausted do you have to be to stop your search for your own family? Well, 200 of the 600 men were so exhausted that they couldn't go up those 300 to 400 feet of the steep side of Brook Besor, and they were left behind. Well, David had a great victory, and when he came back with his spoils, some people didn't want to share the spoils with the ones that had been exhausted. And it says here, verse 21, when David came to the 200 men who were too exhausted to follow David, who had also been left at the brook Besor, it says, verse 22, some of the wicked and worthless men among those who went with David said no, they did not go, so they don't get any spoils. Here comes David with tons of spoils. It says that they had an incredible spoil, and some of them didn't want to share with those that were left behind that had been too exhausted. And this is where you can see that David has learned something during this down spiral, this difficult time. He says, I'm reading on chapter 30, verse 23. David said, you must not do so, my brothers, with what the Lord has given us. He says, the victory is from the Lord. We don't own this. So we're going to give to everybody equally. And he says, the Lord has given us, who has kept us and delivered us into our hands, the band that came against us. And then he says, from this day forward, it will be that he who stays behind and he who goes to the battle will get the same spoil. I love this because this is a principle of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is for the exhausted. Jesus said in Luke 4, verses 18 and 19, that he came to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to captives and recovery of sight to the blind and to set free those who are oppressed. This sounds like exhausted people to me, because the gospel is for the exhausted. We have someone who did the victory for us. We don't deserve the victory, but he has given us the spoils of eternal life. And I want to read something to you from page 58 of our book. None of us deserve salvation, no matter what we have or have not done. Jesus died for us, and in doing so, won the victory for all who choose him. And he shares the results of his victory with all of us who are too handicapped and exhausted to be able to run the perfect race that would qualify us for eternal life. He did it. And now he invites us to come to him. Come to me, he says, all who are tired and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So if you are too exhausted today, come to Jesus. He invites you.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
And friends, thank you for spending time with us this morning. And if you would like to learn more about our program or share us with a friend, or even rewatch some episode again and again, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget, wake up right here with us tomorrow morning. We'll have music from Mary Lou Inks, an inspiring message from Pastor John Bradshaw, carrot cake from the Good Food Kitchen, and another encouraging episode of Grace Points. We can't wait to see you there. And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
I hope you didn't miss that. Again, that's hope.study for your free Bible study guides, and check out the website. We are sure you're going to be blessed. Well, we have to go for now, but before we do, we want to leave you with the Bible promise. And today's Bible promise comes from Galatians chapter 6, verse 9.
It says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up."
Amen. You know what that promise tells me?
What?
Don't stop doing good. Don't stop. Your reward is sure. You know, friends, what a privilege it has been to spending this time with you. We hope that you will have a wonderful day and a reminder throughout the day that Jesus loves you very much. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, today, Lord, we are just so certain that we are loved. We're loved by our God. We're loved by our Creator, our Savior, and our Lord. And today, Lord, as we go about our day, as we carry your love in our hearts, may we look for opportunities to do good, to be able to lift others up, and to give them hope too. So thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.